Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rex Hupke in the Chicago Tribune today begins his column this way. The CEO of McDonald's is rightfully getting his McNuggets deep fried over a text message. He says, "You deserve to get your McMuffin burned. It's not high comedy, though. I mean, Hupke and Zorn and a lot of the commentators in this town are saying that that was a complete wrong take on this." Hupke wrote, "They seem to think the city's economically devastated neighborhoods would be safe, happy havens if only the parents living there met some mythical nuclear family standard set by those of us who do not live in economically devastated neighborhoods." He called what the CEO of McDonald's said racist. He said, this is again what the CEO of McDonald's said in a private text to Mayor Lori Lightfoot, "With both, the parents failed those kids, which I know is something you can't say." And boy, has it hit the fan. So now he's had to issue a letter of apology or explanation and admits that it was insensitive. Hupke says this, "Low-income people are judged by folks who have never struggled with money. People who struggle with mental health issues are judged by people who have no understanding of mental health. And families of victims and perpetrators of violent crimes are blamed by people who are absolutely clueless." Is it absolutely clueless to suggest that the parents bear some responsibility here? And interestingly, my friend Eric Zorn wrote about this too. And listen to what he said. He said, "No, where were his parents is not an important question. In the case of Adam Toledo, where were his parents the night he was shot is not an important question," says Eric Zorn. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, John, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, I agree, although I don't think you and I are on the same page on this. I mean, I see the point that maybe it was the wrong time and it's more complicated than just the parents. But I do think there is room to talk about the parents' responsibility and the care of kids that get regularly shot in Chicago. What's your take on what the CEO said?
Well, first of all, there's this issue of who among us has not, in a text message that they thought was private, said something that was not going to look very good on the front page of the newspaper. I mean, I'm a little troubled. I know that this was a text to the mayor and these things are public, but that, you know, this is not a pronouncement, a statement of McDonald's policy. It's him sort of riffing on the top of his head about how he feels about this. And I think it's a natural feeling for people to have, like, you know, what is going on with the parents. The thing that happened in the McDonald's drive-thru was that the 7-year-old girl, Jocelyn Adams, it looks as though that Jonte Adams, her father, was involved in some street violence, and he was in a violent feud, and that people were clearly targeting him. So there's a real question about, you know, what the hell are you doing taking your 7-year-old kid out in public when you know that people are out to get you on the street? I don't think it's an unreasonable question for the McDonald's CEO to ask. He conflated it with the Adam Toledo shooting. The 13-year-old boy was shot in Little Village a few weeks before he sent this text. And there was the 13-year-old was out in the streets at 2:30 in the morning with a gun in his hand. And a lot of people had written to me. I would say dozens, scores of people had written to me about that, saying, where were his parents? What was going on with that? And I wrote a column in response to that saying, you know, quoting one of my colleagues saying, you know, the easiest job in the world is raising other people's kids. That you don't know what sort of environment, some peer pressure, disability, or other problems have gone on in the home to lead to problems like this. And you can't just, like, point the finger and say, well, you must have been a bad parent. These parents of Adam Toledo may have done their best. They may be great people. You know, those of us who've had teenagers know that they are their own people, and that when you've got a really difficult, these financially, emotionally difficult environments like you have in places like Little Village, just to sort of blithely say, well, this must be a bad parenting, I think is unfair, and it's especially unfair at a time when this family is grieving. Now, again, this wasn't a public pronouncement by the McDonald's. He wasn't trying to, like, shame these parents. He was talking to Lori Lightfoot, and he was making a good point. I agree that we do need to talk. Parenting is certainly one of the issues involved in in crime in every community, with every ethnic group, that when you have people go wrong, that you have to ask what sort of environment they have in the home, what kind of schools they're going to, what kind of health care they've gotten, what kind of peer group pressure they have, what kind of policing's in their community. All those things are factors. But I think to point a finger publicly at one family and saying, what did you do that resulted in the death of your child in the Adam Toledo case was really unfair. As a general principle, I totally agree with you. We do need to think about that. But I cut the McDonald's guy some slack because this wasn't a public pronouncement. This wasn't like a policy of McDonald's or even his policy. He was saying, let's talk about this. Let's include this. And because it was a text, he didn't say, well, let's put this remark into its full context. So that's where I am on it.
Some of you are wondering how then it became public. Somebody else did a FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act request. They were asking for some public exchange or some exchange between the mayor and other people. And since she uses her phone for city business, her texts become open to the public. You can see what she's texting or writing. And they did not know that this was going to be in there. The person who discovered this exchange was looking for something else. And then lo and behold, they find this private exchange between the CEO and the mayor, and that's when it blew up. They said, aha, look at this. He said that, and she said that. Later on, Lori Lightfoot said that there's no place for victim shaming.
Yeah, Lori Lightfoot, at the time, though, when she just responded, she just sort of said, hey, yeah, thank you, we'll talk to you later. She didn't respond to it in the time because you don't, right? You know, when someone says something that maybe you think is a little bit too much in a private conversation or a text, you don't get up on your back legs and say, let's have a fight about this. You let it go. I thought that the mayor is contributing to the pile-on on this guy. And, you know, he's apologized for it. I think people should move on and ask themselves what truth is there in his, what contextual truth is there in what he said, not focusing on, say, the parents of Adam Toledo or even Jocelyn Jocelyn Adams' father. I mean, we don't have to talk about a specific case. Talk about the general truth that is behind that. So that's where I would go if I were Lightfoot and not jumping on top of.
Well, in the case of the little girl who was in the McDonald's drive-thru, Jocelyn Adams, J-A-S-L-Y-N, Jocelyn Adams, if that was the only person that he was talking about, I think that's a very justifiable comment. I mean, I don't know anything about his parenting skills and how much he loved or how indifferent he was to that child, but just in that moment, having that child in that car when guys were looking for him was a bad decision. That's a bad parenting decision. I think what the guy said was so small that it's being blown up to say more than he did. I mean, would he agree that there are other factors that these people face that you and Rex and others have mentioned, like joblessness and a whole host of education issues that make it difficult for these people, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. But at the end of the day, was that a bad parenting move to have that kid in that car? Yeah.
Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was. And you're absolutely right. But this wasn't a white paper from this guy. This wasn't like a 12-page policy prescription where you put that in context. He's riffing in a text message. And he's tried to put it in context afterwards. And maybe it'll jumpstart a productive conversation. But these things tend not to. They just tend to flare up into a lot of public posturing and protests and accusations. He was accused of racism, ignorant, racist and unacceptable. He didn't mention race. I mean, obviously these kids were both, you know, Adam Toledo was Hispanic and Jocelyn Adams was black, but asking about the role of parenting and how kids turn out and what we can do about that is not racist.
Okay.
Because
so
crime infects every community.
Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute said to you and me, I think what he objected to the most was the timing, that right after something like that happens, you don't say that. Again, he said it privately for nobody else's ears but the mayor's. But even if he had said it publicly, okay, fine. Maybe the timing wasn't great. But when do we get to say what responsibility do those parents hold? Sometimes they're single-parent households. That tells you something right there. And in the case of whoever's in charge of those kids, when do we get to talk about their responsibility? And by the way, if you said, well, it's education or it's a systemic crime or poverty or all those other things, wouldn't you put parenting as the single most either important cause or the single best hope for those kids? I mean, you're in charge of that life. That's your child. So, yeah, it's about parenting. It has to be about parenting. It can't be about you and me. It can't be about the Salvation Army. It's got to be about the parents.
Right, but I think when you're putting that into shorthand, you are implicitly giving short shrift to the kinds of stresses and problems that these parents are facing with just what you're saying, joblessness, crime in their communities, single-parent households, all the kind of pathologies that do affect communities, and a lot of them are communities of color, but some of them are just communities of poverty. And when you have these kind of problems, yes, parenting fits in there. I think you're absolutely right, John, but I think if you just say, if you were just a better parent, this would all be okay, that I think minimizes how difficult it is to be a good parent sometimes when you're all these other stresses are under you. So I think we're singing from the same sheet of music here, but I'm maybe stressing a few different notes, which is that I think we need to put parenting into context as well as putting parenting into the role of, am I being clear here? It sounds like I'm creating a sociology seminar here when we're just talking about a stupid text that guys sent.
No, I think we are talking about a stupid text the guy sent, and I think you're being very clear, and I know a lot of folks want to respond to what you said, so I'm going to pause here. We'll do the news, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you, Eric Zorn.
Great talking to you, John. Thanks.
By the way, Eric Zorn's newsletter, you can subscribe to just by emailing ericzorn@gmail.com. Let's take some of your phone calls now, 312-981-7200. The McDonald's CEO said that those young people that are getting shot, at least in the case of two of them, were not well served by their parents. The mayor called that victim shaming. I wonder what you thought about that. Mike and Hazel Crest, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Mike? You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, King John. I don't think what the CEO said was all that wrong, because he didn't mention race. He didn't mention poverty levels. He didn't mention anything like that. He just said that his opinion was that the parents did not do right by their children. And that's not so wrong, because like you said earlier, if that gentleman knew that people were coming for him, why would he put his daughter in the car? The case of the young man out at 2:30 in the morning with a gun in his hand, that behavior had to be learned somewhere. And if it wasn't learned from the parents, then the parents weren't paying attention to what was going on with their son, and their inaction led to what happened. I grew up believing that everything I did as a child reflected on my parents. And now that I'm a parent myself, I know that every decision I make affects the life of my son. So we have to take that into account. And I think the worst thing about this all is that people are sensationalizing it and adding racist overtones when there was none to begin with.
Thanks for the phone call. That's Mike and Hazel Crest. This is Bob in Wooddale. You're on WGN. Bob, what do you want to say? You're on the air.
Hey, John, great show. I call you almost every day if I can, but you know, the people are right. You know, where are the parents in that? Like that one kid in that AM Toledo, he's out 2:00 in the morning. You know, I know times are different, but when my dad told me to be home at a certain time and I wasn't home, he'd come looking for me. I mean, even though it was in the neighborhood, I better be running home at 10:00 at night, or boy, I'd get it. You know, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Okay. That's Bob. This is Mary. You're on WGN in Oak Lawn. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. My concern more than anything is why the father is not being accountable for doing this, because it was a disservice to his child. I mean, to know that, and I just take issue with the fact that you cannot always be a victim. You always have to be accountable for what you do, be it good or bad. And I think it's just heartbreaking to see this happen.
That's Mary. This is, let me go next, I think, to line 5. Is that where we're going, Ash? Okay. I'm going to put up line 5, but I don't see a name there. It's going to be Karen, right? Okay. Hi, Karen. You're on WGN. Hi, Karen. You're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say? Hi.
everybody agrees with him. It's just that nobody, people are saying it in their house. Everybody that I know is saying the same thing. Where are the parents, or where is the mom, or where is the dad, or whoever's in charge? Just like when that 13-year-old boy was shot and killed, and then everybody blamed it on the cop because he killed a little 13-year-old with a gun in the middle of the night at 2:30. You know, how did he get a gun? How did he get outside? It has to be on the parents. My parents knew what was going on. And if I was outside at that time in the morning, oh my goodness, there would be hell to pay.
Thanks for the phone call. I'm going to go back to what Rex Hupke said in the Tribune today. He said, people like, well, this caller just now and the ones you've heard, seem to think the city's economically devastated neighborhoods would be safe, happy havens if only the parents living there met some mythical nuclear family standard set by those who do not live in economically devastated neighborhoods. It's an ignorant and compassionless claim rooted in a derogatory and often racist view of Chicagoans who happen to live in a neighborhood plagued by violence. Hupke says, I hear it ad nauseum every time I write about crime or violence. It's as unhelpful as it is inaccurate. Hollering it's the parents' fault leaves zero room for nuance. You know, that CEO said when I wrote this, that is the text to the mayor, here's the position that he's been backed into. He says, when I wrote this, I was thinking through my lens as a parent and reacted viscerally, but I have not walked in the shoes of Adams or Jessalyn's family and so many others who are facing a very different reality. A texter after Eric Zorn was on with us said, Eric, what makes you as a liberal any more qualified to comment when you are as white and privileged as the people you are criticizing? You know, what are you going to do if you are white and privileged? What are you going to do if you have the good fortune of having come from a nuclear family? What are you allowed if you had a happy circumstance growing up and you didn't find yourself? Do you not get to have an opinion? Does your sense about the thing not count now? Surely it must. And to say that responsible parents do a better job of keeping this from happening is not an inaccurate statement. It's an incomplete statement. It's a challenge for people like me or Eric, those good old-fashioned nuclear families. It's a challenge to imagine what these other families are going through, and it's one that we do not meet well. We don't even try, and we need to do that. But I'd like the other side to meet us halfway and say, yeah, but really, the best backstop for a kid is a mom or a dad. And if they don't have that, at some point you do get to ask, well, then why not? Where is the responsibility there? Okay, this is Bernice. You're on WGN in Barrington. Hi, Bernice. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm always wondering, since I heard about this, why, I think that was a kind of a private message or a private talk between the mayor and the gentleman from McDonald's.
Yes.
And if so, if it was one-on-one, why is she blabbing it?
Why is she saying something about it now?
How does anybody know what?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Well, here's what happened. We mentioned this earlier. So there's this private exchange with the mayor and the CEO. Somebody else was looking for information about what the mayor said about something else. And when the mayor's office said, here's a copy of all of her text messages, this unrelated to that was in there. A journalist who was looking for something else happened to find this. They told the story. Now the mayor's asked about it. And her exchange with the CEO didn't acknowledge what he said, didn't talk to him about, hey, she didn't say, hey, actually, it's more complicated than that. Let's not blame the parents. She said, hey, it was great to see your team. You got a swell building. Have a nice day. The mayor did not engage. But now they've come up to the mayor and they said, well, what do you think about that? Now it's a public conversation. And now the mayor is saying things like victim shaming has no place. We shouldn't be doing that. Last batch of calls here. We could do this all day. We won't, but we'll talk to Mike in Lockport. You're on WGN. What do you want to say, Mike? You're on the air.
Oh, about the Toledo boy. It's my understanding that he had run away from home. His mother reported it. He returned back home. She told the police he was back home. Then he ran away again. And before she could report he was gone, this occurred.
Okay.
So it wasn't like she wasn't keeping track. It's just that the timing was bad for her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, slamming the mother because she's not being a good mother when she was trying to be, and circumstances like this occurred.
I appreciate your call. You know, listen, some of my colleagues who are white and privileged, and those aren't synonyms, but they've got nice lives and they've got comfortable jobs. And they said, I used to go out at 2 in the morning. Are you kidding me? And frankly, my sister did sometimes too. You know, you'd open up the window, you'd literally climb out and you'd go meet a friend or just look for adventure, or you just go stretch, or you just do whatever you did because that's what you did at that age. It's apples and crab apples, maybe. I mean, did you have a gun? Were you running from the police? Did you know gangbangers? But did you grow up in Englewood and maybe there but for the grace of God go you? Goes the thinking. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Pam. You're on WGN. Pam, what can I do for you? You're on the air.
Yes. In any of the previous commenters that I've listened to since I've tuned in, none of them were saying that they needed better parenting because they came from an ethnic background or poor background. The word money or ethnicity never came up. The caller simply said they needed to have better parent accountability. So to have Eric Zorn say that you haven't walked in their shoes, none of the callers I listened to even indicated that because they were of a certain race or color or financial stability, you know, it was just a statement. And what I was saying is I'm a single mom. I'm a regular caller and on your show. I raised 5 children, 1 girl and 4 sons. We came from a town you know well, Minooka. I divorced. I moved into Joliet. The first week I was there, my boys had their bikes stolen and they were beat up at the park. I said, okay, we have a whole new ball game of rules here now. This is not Minooka. My boys were pre-adolescent and adolescent. My daughter was enrolled in College of St. Francis. And we had to do things different. And boy, oh boy, they had to report to me. You know, they just didn't. Now, I'm not saying one didn't sneak out now and then, back in my age. But the guns and the violence wasn't as prevalent back then. And I am probably within your age by 5 to 10 years. I mean, nobody had any kind of weapons or anything. So if a child was out, the chances of them getting shot or stabbed were pretty...
Well, but that's the challenge. So, you know, maybe you would not have been so fortunate or your kids would not have been so fortunate if you all were living on the south or west side of Chicago.
I get that, but still, if the parents had a little, I don't care what, the poorest families can still take good care of their kids and set moral standards.
I think that what some people are saying too, Pam, thanks for the call, and it's good to hear from a fellow Minookite, that's all the more reason for you to be all the more diligent in the care of your kids. Again, I'm sure to some people on the South Side this sounds really academic, but, I mean, that's also a fact. It's also a very difficult challenge, but it's also a fact. Pam, thanks for the call. I'm going to go from you to John on line 2 in Libertyville. Hey, John, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
I agree with what he said. Where are the parents? But you can't put all the blame on the parents nowadays because there's so many people that say, that tell your kids in schools, in classrooms, that if your parents do something to you, you can call the police and have them arrested. So the parents are walking a fine line, too. Parents should be parents, and how they parent their kids, I'm not saying that they should be paddling them or beating them up or anything, but when they tell them to be home at 10 o'clock, they should be home at 10 o'clock. If I wasn't in the house at 10 o'clock, there was consequences. Nowadays, they don't really care.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the phone call. It's 10:53 on WGN. If you are a black man, if you are living on the South Side, I'd love to get your call or text as well. 312-981-7200. These are the honest feelings and reflections of these people. And it sounds a little one-sided today. And I know we have a bigger audience than that, but I haven't heard that voice yet. And it's not an argument necessarily. It's just another perspective, because people honestly come to these conversations from their own background with their own filter. It doesn't make their observations disingenuous or stupid or even wrong. But it's more complicated than, well, just be a better. Here's because you know this, right? I mean, listen, I'm with you. The idea that this CEO has to back away from a statement that privately to the mayor suggested that the parents are responsible for the care of their kids is insane to me. It's insane to me. In a text, he didn't also say, boy, he wishes he had now, that parenting is one of the problems these families face, including guns and violence and, you know, no economic hope and poor education. And there's, you know, bad infrastructure, for crying out loud. They don't even have grocery stores. But he didn't say all of that. But that's also all true. But when do you get to just say, okay, I got that, but now let's just talk about the parents? And when you do that, boy, they throw a flag right away. It's 10:55. WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is coming up. Maybe we'll take a last couple of those calls after the news. Also, Julian Cruz from Channel 9 has been monitoring the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. We couldn't connect with him earlier, but we will in the next hour to catch you up on that. I went to the Blackhawks game last night. First time I've been to a Blackhawks game this year, and so it's a new world, isn't it? When you go to the United Center, and I guess you know this if you've been going to the Hawks or the Bulls games or a concert there. At least this was my experience last night. You walk right into the building. They don't take your ticket out front, but you don't get into the building until you first show your COVID card. You've got to have your vaccine card. And if you don't have your vax card, you don't get in. And there was a little confusion among some people about, well, can I have a laminated one? Can I have a picture of one? Do I have to have the original? Will you take it off my phone? I had a laminated miniaturized version of mine so that it's the size of a credit card. And they looked at that for 2 seconds and said, fine. I do not remember that they asked to see my ID. I don't remember that they matched my ID with my COVID card, but I had somebody's COVID card. It was mine. And so I got in. Then I had to run my keys and my phone through the metal detector. I put my hand over my watch so as to keep that from beeping the machine. And then I showed them my phone that had my ticket on it, but there's no paper tickets now. And if my phone was starting to run out of juice again, because my phone is always running out of juice at the most inopportune times, and I'm like, oh, please hang in there, phone, because I don't know how I get into this game or even prove to them that I have a ticket without my phone, because the ticket had been forwarded to me. They do not want paper. They want digital, digital, digital. Antoine, this is John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. Then I'll go to you, Tom. But Antoine, you go first. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
What do you want to say?
I grew up in Inglewood. My mom was a single-parent mom. And, man, when she wasn't around, I was into everything. But when she found out, she got me. She took care of me and that made a difference in my life, because she did the best that she could, regardless of what I did out in the streets. She did her job. And I still chose to go out in the streets and do stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. So, but the laws that they made today has a lot to do with what's going on now. If we don't get these judges out there.
Antoine just cut out, but I think I know where he's going. Antoine, you just cut out there. You said the judges need to be tougher with their verdicts and their punishments?
Yes, I think they do, because these kids don't respect the law anymore. Back then, they scared us. The judge gave me a decision to change my life. He said, either you go to the military or you go to jail. And I chose to go the right path. I've been driving a truck 30 years, but back then, that was back then. Today, these judges, they don't care. So we need some new judges in there. We need some people that's going to enforce the laws that's on the books.
You feel the same way about the state's attorney's office? Should they prosecute these crimes more vigorously?
I think they should. Yes, sir. I think they should.
Wow. It's a take I didn't expect or anticipate. I'm really glad you're listening. I'm really glad you called, my friend.
No problem. Anytime.
Drive safe, Antoine. Tom, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say, Tom? You're on the air.
How's it going, John? This is, I'd like to say we're looking at the end results of a lot of things. You know, poverty, you know, the parents out here trying to do the best they can, and the kids are basically raising themselves in a lot of cases. So the mentorship comes from the people on the street, and the streets, everything in these neighborhoods, they dump into our neighborhoods being black and brown. They dump into the neighborhoods, and, you know, you got pedophiles, drug dealers, and all these things that influence your kids. So it's hard to get a grip on those kids, the kids, when you're trying to work and do things. And for people to say, oh, well, back in the day, that was back in the day. Things have totally changed. And now they found out depression. Who had depression back in the day, you know? So it's just a lot of compounding things that happen, and we just want to focus on one thing, like, oh, it's the parent, and it's compounding. And every time we talk about these things, we always look at the end result, the carjacking. Here it is, the carjacking. It's been in the neighborhoods for years, but since it happened and it's getting out of hand in areas, people come and call and say, oh, it doesn't happen around here. But what happens in a community that it does happen? On a daily basis.
So, you know, you just said something that kind of sparked my interest. I appreciate everything you said. But when a carjacking happens, we say, oh, my God, the carjacking. Like, shoot, if I had a gun, I'd shoot back, too, you know. But we don't say...
I wouldn't say that.
I did yesterday, and I got beat up for it. But I think what you're also making me think is, okay, carjacking bad, think about that. But now think about what happens to a kid that gets him to a place in life where he's doing the carjacking? We don't spend any time talking about that, do we?
No. Not only that, where is this kid taking these cars? They're taking the cars, either they're doing the drive-bys or they're doing it for profit, money. Stop where the profit is coming in from first. Focus on who is shipping these cars out of town. They're stealing them and shipping them overseas, things of that nature. Stop that. Let's stop that right there, and that stops the demand for the car.
Well, people, you know, let's just go back to what that CEO said for McDonald's for a minute, and then I'll let you go, Tom. But he said that these kids are the product of bad parenting. And you're making it sound more complicated than that, but what do you make about the responsibility of the parents for these kids?
The responsibility of the parent, yes, you know, everybody wants their kid, but here it is at a certain time, just like everybody, all the callers said, my mom did this, my mom did that, but they have done some bad things too. In today's times, things just changed. Parenting has changed. You can't whoop your kid. You can't do nothing to your kid right now. Yeah. You talk down to them, that caused depression. Now you send your kids in depression. So it's like, what do you do?
Yeah. Hey, Tom, where do you live? Where are you from?
Inglewood.
Okay. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. Keep listening, keep calling, okay? We need to hear you more often.
Hey, I'm here all the time. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm here all the time, too. It just turned 11:30. It's time for the news. Eugene, and then I'm moving on to a different subject, so I'm going to let you be the last voice on this topic today. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Good morning, John. Yes, I think a lot of times when we have these conversations, we kind of get lost in the amount of pressure that a lot of these young people are being exposed to. Now, we have the best intentions in the world as parents to do the best we can to teach them the good and the bad. But once they step outside of the house, the enormous pressure from the gangs are just really, really too much for them. You know, for example, for the kid that's on the bus line or the L going back and forth to school, at some point, many of these gangs are approaching those children and asking them to pledge their allegiance. And if they say no, well, then that's just as bad as being in a rival gang. So now you got a problem. You got to make a choice whether to get beat up every day or pledge your allegiance to a particular gang. And many of these kids don't have an out. They just don't know how and where are the resources to get out or prevent them from going into the gangs in the first place, because they really don't want to go to the gangs.
That's a really good point. Where are you calling from, Eugene?
Yeah, I'm calling from the south side of Chicago. I live in Chatham. I grew up in Grand Crossing, but I live in Chatham. I have two daughters. One is grown out of the house, and one's a senior on her way to college in this summer coming up.
Really appreciate your call, man. Thanks for listening. Yep. Thanks for joining us. You have a good day. It's time for WGN Radio News.